This is Invest Talk from KPP Financial, helping investors make sense of the markets one day at a time. Here's your host, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to another edition of Invest Talk. We are now into the back half of the year. It's crazy, right? The second quarter is behind us. That means the first half is behind us. A lot to unpack during this hour with you. Our job is to give you data and perspective. And today is a special day in the fact that, you know, we're able to look back in the first half and start to think about what the second half might have in store. And usually you start to see some trends begin in the second quarter that kind of propels us into the back half of the year. So we're going to look at that and much, much more on today's show. Now, let me thank all of you who participated in our wealth webinar yesterday on income, how to produce income, what are the pitfalls of various income generation sources. If you want to, if you missed it and you want to watch it again, you can go over to our YouTube channel. It is up over there. So make sure you go check that out. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hello, Invest Talk. I was calling to try to reach out to you guys about the following ticker symbol, CLH. That's Clean Harbors Incorporated. This is a stock that I've held. It's done very, very well. Do I need to trim my position? Do you think I should buy some more? I'll listen for your answer. Hope you have a good evening. Thanks. Bye.
We're looking at Clean Harbors. They're engaged in environmental, energy, industrial services. As you would imagine, in this world where a lot of money is going into data centers, their business is benefited, especially those environmental services, those industrial services, et cetera. They do, they work with landfills. They have treatment services, storage and disposal facilities, wastewater treatment facilities, and solvent recycling centers as well. So $16 billion market cap. It has been on a nice run because earnings are growing and they're expected to grow 18% this year, 10% next year to $9.49. However, it's a $290 stock. So based on forward-looking earnings, you're talking about over 30 times forward-looking multiple, which is kind of on the expensive side. Now, if you're looking at an enterprise value to EBITDA, that's in about the 14 range, shall we say, forward looking, which is on the high side. It hasn't been this high since 2024. Let me zoom out here. Yeah, that's when you started a broader pullback from about 260 all the way down to 183. What I will say is technically, it looks like it's probably at the beginning of a broader correction. Is that a reason to sell it if you're a long-term holder? No, not necessarily, because this correction may be something similar where it goes from, you know, went from 270 all the way on down to 180. You know, that was about a 30% correction. It doesn't feel great, but obviously it worked its way higher. It's a very good business with a strong balance sheet, return equity around 14.5%. Not amazing, but very solid, very consistent. It's taking that cash flow, about $400 million per share, and they're buying back shares. So they're doing smart things with that, that cash flow. They don't pay a dividend, but their dividend is kind of that share buyback. So I like the business. It wouldn't be a time for me to pick up more. I would wait until about the 250 range, the 290 now. I think it probably works its way down there over the coming 12 months. Maybe not, but the technicals are telling me that, and so are the valuations. So I'd be very patient on it. I would be a long-term holder because I like the business, but I wouldn't be adding to it until you get to 250. Thanks for the call. Now, we had a great show yesterday. We looked into a story about a teaching moment and how Wall Street targets are built, why they move, and how little they should drive your decisions. Luke got into that, and it was a great show. If you answer, he also answer questions on EQT Corporation. That is a natural gas, I think it's a natural gas producer, if I remember correctly. That was submitted via our YouTube channel. And if you happen to miss it, go check it out. The best way to get every show is to follow Invest Talk wherever you get your podcast. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover today over the next 45 minutes, and time permitting, we'll get to all of it. Our main focus point is reviewing the first half of the year. What were the expectations going into 2026? And how did the first half live up to the hype, shall we say? What shifted throughout those first two quarters? And what does that mean for the back half of the year? What does that mean for setting up back half positioning in your portfolio? So we'll dig into that. Then I want to touch on the streaming wars and cable cutting, what this means for you, the viewer, but also the companies within the space. How profitable will they continue to be over time? We have another topic. I have it in front of me. Where is it? I'll find it. Don't have it in front of me, actually. I'll find it, but we have more to talk about. Oh, yes, that's what it was. AI exuberance, a report from the BIS. So we'll dig into that story as well. Most importantly, though, will be your calls. We have voice bank calls. One is on index performance, as well as the Vanguard Information Technology Index, VGT ETF. And then we have some questions that came in via the comment section over on the Invest Talk YouTube channel, as always. So we're going to take a quick break, however. Please remember, you can call anytime. Leave your question on the Invest Talk voice bank. And if you're listening via our live stream, or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Up next, I will comment on today's market activity.
Millions of downloads have proved there's value in every InvestTalk podcast. Call anytime, 24/7. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
+8 99 chart, +8 992 4278. So I get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's take a look at the market. It was a bit of a down day. NASDAQ was down 0.2%. S&P about 0.25%, the negative, and Dow was flat. It really reflected some downside moves in the semiconductor space overall. That was really what was dragging down the performance. You had names like AMD down 6.9%, Intel down 9%, Micron down 10.5%. Names like KLA-Tencor, SanDisk, AMAT, Applied Materials, Lam Research, all down around 10% as well. So that was really the big drag. A lot of maybe some worries around the sustainability of their earnings growth going forward. Part of this was Apple applying for an exemption to buy memory from a Chinese supplier that's been banned for, I forget what reason, but these hardware makers are looking for ways to get around these extremely high prices of the inputs that are going into devices that are not AI data centers, because the AI data centers are sucking up all of the supply. And so that's what set that industry back overall and set the market back in general. Meta was up. That was the big winner, as it looks like they are shifting to supplying compute to the rest of the industry, as opposed to simply building out compute for themselves and running their own AI models, mainly because their AI models are behind the big players. So the market liked that. That was up, like I said, 8.8% on the day. So very interesting mixed bag. Financials were strong. However, you also had some strength out of the software space. So an area that had been struggling and starting to turn around. I've been saying for a little while now, this looks like a good risk versus reward within the software space for a lot of names. Now, long term, some of those names will be big losers, but in the short term, you're getting a bit of a counter trend bounce. And the economic front, ISM manufacturing was down a bit from May, from 54 to 53.3, but still near a 2-year high. New orders ticked down from 56.8 to 56. Employment increased, though, from 48.6 to 49.7. So you kind of have more of a neutral employment picture coming out of the manufacturing sector. And that fed into the ADP report of 98,000 jobs produced, private sector jobs produced in June. That's down from 122,000 in May, below consensus of 110 to 120. We will have the jobs number that comes out tomorrow, a day early. So that certainly will be a big market mover. They'll be released at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. The street is looking for about 115,000 jobs for the month of June, which would be a step down from May's big number at 172,000. The expectation is for unemployment rate to stay steady at about 4.3 and hourly earnings to increase about 0.3%. So we'll see how the market reacts to that tomorrow. We also had some earnings out of names like Nike. Nike had relatively disappointing earnings, but it was up on the day. And that usually is a fairly good sign. So we could be finding a bottom in Nike, potentially. So we'll keep an eye on that. Treasuries were a bit weaker with yields up 2 to 4 basis points across the curve. But most importantly, the 10 and 30 years were up 8 basis points. So that's the yield. That's the curve steepening overall. And could be weighing on equities going forward if those longer dated bond yields continue to rise, which they have been for a number of months now. Dollar index is up 0.2%. Gold finished up 1.1%. Silver up 1% on the day. Bitcoin reversed, now up 2.5%, back above 60,000. So a bit of a strength there as it was threatening to break well below that 60,000 mark. Still certainly can, but got a bit of a reversal today. And WTI was down 1.3% on the day. So that was the market for the first trading day of the second half of 2026. Let's go answer a YouTube comment question. Dan Max says, hey guys, love the show. I've been holding 20 Microsoft shares since 2021. It's only returned about a 13% profit. Do you think it's worth it to keep holding, sell some, or sell all? This is always the difficult thing when anybody asks a single stock question. A lot of it's, what other exposure do you have? What's the weighting, et cetera? So I always want to give you that caveat, because in a vacuum, the answer could change, especially with large cap names, because they're large cap, they're big mega caps for a reason, is they have usually good businesses. But overall, software has been taken to the woodshed. Near term, I would say this is not a time to be selling Microsoft, at least aggressively, because I do think there's some upside in the short term because the software names look to be bottoming. So I would be cognizant of that. I would be more apt to buy more here as opposed to sell it. So just a heads up there on Microsoft. Still a good business. There's some long-term risk to it. Mainly, I think the CapEx build out that I think have gone a bit too far, and the fact that their free cash flow is now turning south. I like to buy companies that have ability to take cash flow, buy down debt, buy back shares, etc. And Microsoft's free cash flow has just simply decelerated because of this CapEx spend. So I still worry a bit about Microsoft long-term, but near-term, I think there's more upside for Microsoft as the software space takes a turn for the better. Now, our 24-hour Invest Talk voice bank never closes, so you can leave your finance and investment question anytime at 888-99-CHART, and our work continues after this break.
This is Invest Talk, now closing in on 63 million downloads. And Justin Klein is here taking your questions live. 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk about the streaming industry, especially in light of the recent acquisition of Roku by Fox, after which the price of the stock fell about 25%. And then there's the Paramount Skydance merger of Warner Brothers Discovery. And since the 2025 highs, that stock is down about 50% as well. But what this shows is that the industry is consolidating, mainly because they need scale, because the business is just not as strong as it was when so many people were cable subscribers. Today, there are about 62 million U.S. households with traditional cable TV subscriptions. That's 3.5 million fewer than 1 year ago. So you can see kind of the melting ice cube at probably high single digits per year. A decade ago, there was 36 million more. So you're talking about nearly 100 million. So over a decade, we've gone from about 100 million to about 62 million. So about but dropped by a third in a decade, probably drop another third in a decade as well. So the pie is shrinking. Streaming subscribers generate less revenue and profit than cable subscribers. Simple as that. Which means that the competition will keep prices relatively low. Switching costs is relatively low. It's just a matter of logging into your account and canceling or pausing. You're never really locked in long term like you used to be with TV. Remember TV when you, I remember with cable, you used to move and they would offer you a promo discount to lock in for a year or two. But that's no longer the case. You can just jump on a streaming platform wherever, cancel, add, depending on that original content or what you really want to watch. And that is why Paramount is combined with HBO and Warner Discovery, just allow them to lump it all into one and keep their subscribers stickier. And so what we're in the midst of is a what is likely a new equilibrium of lower profit levels. And that is why when you're looking at this industry from an investment standpoint, you need to understand that debt is a big issue. And I think that's why these other companies are struggling, from Paramount to Fox, et cetera, because the market does not want to see these businesses take on so much debt, because they know over time, there's just going to be pressure on their margins. Yes, there's going to be ways for them to maybe make their content more efficiently, especially with AI, but people don't want that. People don't want to tune in for AI. So overall, it's still going to push the prices lower and the margins lower, because there's going to be so much demand on these companies to actually produce good content. So when you're looking at investing in the space, understand the reaction to these recent acquisitions and adjust your expectations for the business accordingly. Let's move back to a fresh listener question from 888-99-CHART.
Hey, I was looking to get some exposure to a good dividend stock, and I was thinking of the Campbell's company, CPB, ticker symbol. What are your thoughts on that company? And I'll be listening. Bye.
This is a great question. I'm not sure if he tuned into the webinar yesterday, but this is the exact type of company that we generally talked about as a potential value trap. And there's a lot of these in the packaged food business and the consumer staples business. Businesses that took on a lot of debt, maybe paid high dividends and weren't smart about keeping their balance sheet right-sized for their cash flow, for their earnings, et cetera. And over time, their debt level has grown, their cash flow has fallen. And yes, the dividend looks good at 6.6%, but if their debt continues to rise, that's going to become an issue. In 2023, their debt was $4.7 billion. Actually, that was the beginning of 2024. So you're talking now 2.5 years. It's gone from 4.7 to 6.4 billion. Not a giant move, but certainly in the wrong direction, especially when you look at the market cap of only 7 billion and a free cash flow of 683 million, down from a high of nearly $1 billion back in 2022 and 1.1 billion back in 2016. So it's been in a long downtrend when it comes to its free cash flow. Its earnings as well are expected to fall again, 27% this year and 10% next year to $1.95. This is a melting ice cube. You do not want to buy this as a dividend stock. Now, it could it turn around in the short term. You're getting some strength right now. Short term, I think it's getting this counter trend rally. But I don't like the long-term trends of the business. I don't like that debt. This is the exact type of value trap or dividend trap that you want to avoid. It's something we talked a lot about yesterday on the webinar. So go check that out over on YouTube. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into the story. The index fund trap, when the Russell 2000 is up over 20%, the S&P under 10. I just own the index means very different things depending on which index you're talking about. The story gives us a chance to explain how market cap weighted indices are different. Now, that story is for tomorrow, but I'm Justin Klein, ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
At KPP Financial,
Accountability means more than advice. It means we invest alongside you. Through our parallel investing approach, when we recommend an investment for clients, one or more KAPP principals invest their own capital at the same time. Same day, same price, same percentage. If your portfolio moves, ours does too. That is alignment. That is transparency. That is the KAPP difference. Visit investtalk.com to get your free portfolio review.
There are a few things that make KAPP Financial special. One of them is parallel investing. This means they invest right alongside their clients. Here's how it works. When KAPP Financial makes a trade for their clients, Justin Klein makes the same trade for himself and KAPP on the same day, at the same price, and same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. Learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
Our main focus point today is about the first half scoreboard. We're half a year into 2026. So let's talk about the performance, the different asset classes, what was expected as we started the year, and what that means for the back half of 2026. Now let's look at some performance figures. The BCOM, the Bloomberg Commodity Index, up about 14%, especially led by oil price spikes in the first half of the year. Large cap growth up 13.8% on the year. Large cap overall up about 10%, the S&P 500. International developed right about 5.2% on the year. Emerging markets only up 1.8%, really dragged down by China. Investment grade bonds were down about 2.4% on aggregate because of higher interest rates. So certainly a time where the accelerating inflation figures are hurting the bond market overall. And one of the reasons why we talked about taking more credit risk than duration risk. That negative performance was really driven by longer duration assets. Now, where were we going into the year? The prevailing narrative entering 2026 was that the Fed was going to stimulate. We're going to continuation of the easing cycle. Jerome Powell started easing last year, paused, and then it was all about, okay, who's going to be the next Fed president? Then we got Kevin Warsh. And as the year went on, especially post the Iran war, you saw inflation that was somewhat moderating, still kind of staying in that 2.5% to 3% range. Instead of continuing that disinflationary kind of slow impulse, despite the tariff issue, we saw inflation start to reaccelerate, and the central bank easing expectations turned into what is now an expectation of 1 to 2 rate hikes between now and year end. And that inflation is now sticky of well above 3%, and in some instances, registering now at about 4%. So with that backdrop, it's pretty surprising, if you're honest, that we're getting somewhere in the high single digit return so far in the first half of the year, depending on which index you're looking at. The top performing sectors in the first half of the year were technology, up about 31%, so really was the main driver here. Communication services up 22%, materials up about 6.5%, utilities up 1.2%. Healthcare, though, and consumer staples were down. But that top-line number actually hides the rotation that started in the back half of Q2, where materials, financials, a lot of defensive sectors like consumer staples and real estate started to outperform. And especially the Mag 7 names were the big underperformers. And really, the tech sector performance was driven by a lot of those hardware names, the chip names, the memory producers, et cetera. But those are also starting to, as you saw today, starting to show a little bit more volatility, which usually when you're in a strong trend and you start to see volatility, that usually is the start of a trend changing. So that's the story as we're heading into the back half of the year, that this CapEx cycle is going to broaden out, especially when it comes to the beneficiaries of the CapEx cycle, into things like infrastructure companies, power generation, and not just the technology that goes into the data centers. Think of the nuts and bolts, the picks and shovels of that industry. On top of that, with what's going on geopolitically, companies are starting to prioritize supply chain security and resilience over just the lowest cost, which is kind of a continuation of what we've seen since COVID, where it isn't about just in time inventory and just in time inventory management. It's about resilience of your supply chains, especially in light of the closing of the Strait of Hormuz. Companies are trying to find alternatives, and when they can actually secure that alternative, raw material especially, or means of production, they're actually taking advantage of it despite the cost. And that's one of the reasons why industrials are doing better, because they're now able to charge higher margins, or higher prices, and extract higher margins from the products and services that they supply to the market. So those are some big trends that we are seeing as we head into the back half of the year. From a macro perspective, the economy remains relatively resilient. Earnings are strong. However, there's a lot of overcrowding within the momentum factor. So the businesses that have done very well, a lot of those increases in earnings in the near term have been in industries like semiconductors, like memory, that historically are very cyclical. They can have very big boom and bust cycles when it comes to their earnings. And then other companies have seen big valuation jumps because of their private investments in things like OpenAI or Anthropic, etc. And those are also not very repeatable. And the third pillar here is the tax cuts that were implemented this year that are feeding into higher corporate profits because of lower tax bills that will continue into next year, but it won't be a stair step in growth, right? So that's another factor that I think makes the current jump in a lot of earnings expectations a little bit more flash in the pan as opposed to sustainable longer term trends. Now, I think there are some of those, but in the near term, what you've seen is more around those flash in the pan factors as opposed to long-term secular tailwinds, which I think underpin a lot of what's going on in the industrial space and the material space. And then you get into Fed policy, which we talked about them aggressively, maybe not aggressively, but starting to tighten policy in the back half of the year. If that comes to fruition, I do think that could continue to bring multiples down across the market. But overall, economic growth remains relatively solid. Why? Because banks, are lending to businesses. A lot of this has to do with deregulation, rolling back some of the protections implemented post-financial crisis. That's a big factor that's opening up balance sheet capacity for banks. Something underappreciated in the first half of the year, and I think another reason why financials are also joining the industrial and material sector as broadening out the breadth of this rally as we head into the back half of 2026. Now, this is InvestTalk, and our 24/7 voice bank never closes, so let's play another listener question now.
Hi, Justin and Luke. Long time listener to your show here from the Midwest. I have a question, please, for you gentlemen. I know the technology sector, memory chips and everything, has really been going sky high and doing great, but there's also a bit of volatility to it at times. I'm wondering if a solution or another good way to invest in these things and maybe limit some of the volatility would be to invest some money in funds VGT or XLK. I'm considering doing this. I was wondering if either one of these two funds looked better to you guys, if one was more of a thumbs up than the other, or if you consider them both equal. Thanks for your help and advice. Have a good holiday.
Thank you for the call and your continued patronage of the show. Appreciate that. What you said earlier is absolutely correct in a day like today where they experience a lot of volatility. VGT, for example, was down nearly 2% on the day. XLK was, let's see what that was, got about 2.5% on the day. So what you can see is XLK is more tied to some of the hardware names, probably why it underperformed today. in such a material way. NVIDIA, VGT, they are very similar. A lot of the top same holdings, NVIDIA, Apple, Microsoft, Broadcom, and Micron for VGT, NVIDIA, Apple, Microsoft, Micron, and Broadcom for XLK. They're both very tied to the tech space. The tech space is starting to, once again, we've said, underperform. You're getting more names of VGT. There's 323 equity holdings versus XLK, only 74. But XLK is more heavily tied to the top 10 holdings. 64% of this fund is in the top 10 holdings. That's a bit better with VGT, but it's still 61%. So you're very still concentrated in names like NVIDIA, 17% of VGT, where it's also about 14.5% of NVIDIA. Neither of these I get excited about right now because, as I said, this is the area that is starting to lose its momentum. Yes, those hardware names are starting to do better, but their risk versus reward after the run is not what they used to be. And that's why, like I said, the rally is broadening out. And that's healthy for the broader market. But what you're doing is now moving into, if you're buying either one of these names, is moving into a sector that is starting to, that is overcrowded. Positioning is starting to reverse and going into different parts of the market. So this is the exact opposite time you want to be adding to these names. In fact, you want to be selling these type of ETFs or these type of companies. And not saying completely. Remember, it's not black and white. This is a time to trim. This is around a time to reduce your exposure to the space, not increase it. Thanks for the call. Let's squeeze in another YouTube comment question. Randy23 says, would love to hear your thoughts on XMTR. XMTR. It's growing fast, expanding margins, and has turned free cash flow positive. Do you think it can outperform the market over the next 5+ years? Okay. Let's take a look at this. A small name, only about a $5 billion market cap. Name is Xometry. AI-powered marketplace, industrial sourcing platform. Interesting. Suite of cloud services. Marketplace uses proprietary AI to help buyers efficiently source custom manufactured parts and assemblies and attain instant pricing and lead times. Interesting. One of those industrial applications for AI. I tend to, if I'm going to invest in and buy the AI hype, these are the type of applications of the technology that I kind of would lean towards. Earnings had been negative consistently up until last year, where they earned 38 cents, then 71 cents this year, and then $1.25 next year. However, stock has had a pretty good run. This chart. In April, it was trading around $36 per share. Today, it's trading at 95 and change. I don't see, let's see. Yeah, I guess free cash flow quarterly has now turned positive. It was $4 million, only for the second time in their history. The positive territory. This is a name I would keep on my watch list. They continue to issue more shares. I don't love that. And it's just a bit too expensive for my liking. This is the name, if it pulls back to in the 50s, that's where I think there's good risk versus reward. You know, I'll pay 40 times or something like that for this type of name, but not 90 times earnings. Okay, so keep on your watch list, wait for more volatility, and be buying on major dips because it'll have that. Okay, let's pivot back to another voicemail question now.
Hi, I was calling about Iron Mountain. I'm up about 100% on it. I wanted to know if I should sell it, keep it, or just buy more. Thank you for your help.
Looking at Iron Mountain, you double your money. This is definitely a time to trim a bit, I would imagine. And you've seen it over the past couple of days as well. This is sold off from a high just a week ago, about $135 per share. Now we're down at $121. It broke below the lows in June. Today, the technicals are certainly reversing. And then the valuation, $2.60 expected in earnings next year, funds from operation. This is a REIT for everyone out there, which is too rich for my blood at $121 per share. So yes, I would be at the minimum trimming your position, potentially selling all of it, because I do think the valuation is way too high with the level of growth, where growth is slowing this year and next year. And so I would be, once again, trimming at the bare minimum. Thank you for the call. Now we're heading into our final break. So if you have a question for me, still have some time to get it in, just give us a call right now, 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many factors. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin or Luke. Nick from Washington, D.C. was listening to a podcast from earlier this month in June. You mentioned that you believe that the indexes are not going to perform like we've seen moving forward. And I kind of wanted to just understand the rationale, the reasoning behind that. Is it because they're heavily weighted in tech? Is it because, you know, just a basic mathematics reversion to the mean? They've been so elevated the last several years that now we're going to get back to, they're going to kind of not follow that trend. And overall, we'll kind of see that, you know, 9-12%, whatever it is, year over year. Just was wondering why you think the indexes won't perform as well moving forward. Thank you guys a lot. Thanks for all you do. Listen to you guys every day on the way to work. So talk to you later now. Bye.
Well, I think there are a couple factors that are likely to cause the indices to probably disappoint over the next 10 years compared to the past 10 years. I think number one is more on a real basis. Not to say I think indexes will continue to go up outside of a major recession where there's major layoffs, because I think one of the big reasons why the indices and markets continue to go up is because people are investing in 401ks and goes into targeted funds and that goes into the indices, et cetera. And there's a lot of flows there that are really, really resilient, especially with unemployment rates so low. So I think that will be a continued factor. Now, will the net flows shift as more boomers retire and start to pull money from the 401ks, et cetera? That's certainly possible. But that's something I continue to watch over the short to medium term to see, you know, could the broader markets falter in some way, shape, or form? So there's that I'm watching. And then there's the inflation side. So like I said, I think those continue to go up, but if inflation now is averaging 3-4% versus 2% before, but the indices perform the same, well, your net after inflation real yield is going to be lower. So that's to me a big factor. And then there's that concentration risk where these mega caps are so dominant within the indices. I think what the top 10 or 40% of the S&P pulled up. Yeah, 36% of the S&P are just those top 10 holdings. And most of them are the hyperscalers. Five of those 10 are Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, Meta. These are names that used to be very, very cash flow positive. They were taking that money and they were plowing them back into share issue or share buybacks. Then you had on top of that, the flows from 401k and retirement investors going into these indices. And it just was a recipe for those stocks to really outperform. But as you've seen as of late, they're starting to underperform because of the shift in the dynamic of their business being very cash flow, CapEx intensive, asset intensive, as opposed to these low asset, very high margin, high cash flow businesses. So I think that's a big shift in that aspect. And then there's obviously the valuation. There's a lot of overvaluation within the sector or the indices, but depends on the sector. And ultimately, there's financial gravity that will likely set in at some point where there just won't be. Actually, let me step back. forgot about this factor that I've started to think about a little bit more recently. And that is the civil unrest or social unrest, shall we say, where people are a little discouraged with what's going on with the broader economy and how to fix it. And I think the next bout of politician that will lead right now, we have a populist person on the right. That's Trump. For better or for worse, whatever you think of him, that's what his rhetoric was, at least. In these eras, fourth turning type of eras, you are likely to ping pong back to a populist person on the left. That's how these things work. And that is a person that will probably try to raise taxes, will be less focused on asset markets, become more truly populist by enacting more New Deal type of policies. I think that will be a shift in how market structures operate. So I know that was a long, convoluted answer, but hopefully that gave you some perspective on how I think markets going to evolve over the next decade. I'm Justin Klein. Remind you of KP Financial's parallel investing. When we make a trade for our clients, make the same trade for ourselves. Same day, same price, same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. We invest right alongside our clients. We share the same risk and potential for success. And you can learn more by heading over to investtalk.com. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, or check out our YouTube channel as well. And if you missed participating in our newest wealth webinar yesterday, you can still benefit from our analysis and discussion. Just head over to our Invest Talk YouTube channel and find it posted over there. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.